record as a congressman.
We wanted the minimum retirement age to be lifted to people that are 70 years old, a substantial increase over what it is right now. That's a big increase. And he also voted to severely cut Medicare. I will not be cutting Medicare, and I will not be cutting Social Security. We're leaving the age where it is.
He says Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is a disaster, but hopes he's feeling well as he recovers from a fall last week. The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is hosting a national security summit in D.C. today.
Defense officials, industry producers, members of Congress, and others are expected at the Reagan Institute's Center for Peace Through Strength National Security Innovation-Based Summit today. And ahead of this, the Institute issued a report card grading our national security and defense system on 10 factors. The lowest scores went to customer clarity and talent base, with a D letter grade on those fronts. On talent base, they found the defense working force does not recruit diverse talent proficient in emerging technologies. On customer clarity, they find the government says they want innovation but is not willing to pay for all of it. The highest grade was an A- for overall innovation leadership across a range of emerging technologies that remains at a competitive advantage. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
New study finds you might want to wash those water bottles more.
The study from waterfilterguru.com finding that those reusable bottles can harbor 40,000 times more bacteria than the average toilet seat, the study referring to them as a portable petri dish. Researchers acknowledging that such bottles are here to stay, saying not all germs found on the bottles are harmful to humans. Nonetheless, they're suggesting people simply wash them frequently with warm, soapy water. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Stock futures are up ahead of this morning's announcement on consumer inflation. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05, News Radio 92.3. Right now, clear skies, 44 in Pensacola. Starting out this morning, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jenna.
I-10 heading eastbound. That earlier vehicle crash at mile marker 27, although it was cleared, it is still causing some slowdowns in the area. It looks like it's backed up about a half a mile. If you've got eyes on that, 2626-111. Taking a look at US 90, Highway 98, not seeing any major delays. And front gate of NES Pensacola right now is checking in clear. If you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barra, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent.
Thank you very much, Jenna, for that update. The Fed now investigating the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Depositors were saved by the FDIC. However, investors in that bank lost big, and that's got investors around the world and, of course, locally worried about future bank collapses.
Understand what your risk tolerance is as an investor. So if things like this give you a lot of anxiety and stress, then maybe you have too much in the stock market and not enough in cash and bonds, which tend to be, you know, less volatile and lower return potential, but provide a little more peace of mind.
John Cox from Waverly Advisors tells Channel 3 it's best to spread out your risk in different industries. A panhandle lawmakers push to reform higher education moving forward now in Tallahassee. House subcommittee yesterday approving HB 999. That's sponsored by Pensacola's Alex Andrade. It would eliminate DEI programs at public universities across the state and change how faculty members are hired. Andrade says state universities should be focused on teaching how to think, not what to think. You may remember hearing about that brawl at Southern Raceway in Milton last month. Well, there was another incident last weekend. That all started with a crash on the track at the Southern All-Star Racing Series on Saturday. After that crash, a driver's father accused of busting into another driver's trailer and hitting him with a hammer.
And as this was being handled by our deputies, another fight broke out, ostensibly related to this incident, and two more subjects were charged. So those two subjects were charged with a fray, and the first subject was charged with a burglary with a battery as well as an aggravated battery.
And Chief Deputy Shane Tucker there with the Sheriff's Office, he says deputies responded quickly because they had off-duty deputies that were working security. Arrested during the incident were 51-year-old Gary Winger. He's the one charged with aggravated assault and burglary. 23-year-old Scott Winger and 30-year-old Scott Parker both charged with disorderly conduct. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office and Santa Rosa County School Board both being sued by the family of a special needs student. The family alleging law enforcement officers and the school district violated their then 8-year-old student's constitutional rights. This coming after body cam video from a school resource officer was released that showed the boy being handcuffed and later Baker acted. The incident reportedly happened at the High Road School in Pace. 44 in clear skies right now in Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 44 clear skies in Pensacola, 47 in Gulf Breeze, and 42 in Milton. Our next news at 7:30. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Join the Escambia County Department of Purchasing tomorrow morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming new task order program. They will be discussing how this process will allow for streamlined competitive bidding among qualified vendors. If you or someone you know wants to do business with Escambia County, then tune in tomorrow morning at 9 and learn more about the task order program.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The second part of this request would be to modify the buffer wall to the west of this property that would provide the buffering and landscaping separating the residential areas to the west. It would be to modify that buffer wall to remove the proposal for a stucco finish and replace it with a painted finish that would complement the landscaping that is that has already been approved to be installed as a part of this development.
Okay. What is the dumbest thing you can imagine the Milton City Council fighting over? What is the dumbest possible thing you can imagine? Now, I know what you're thinking is like, there's no way that whatever I come up with is going to be as dumb as what they actually did. You're right. You're right. So here's the backdrop. Here's how you understand this story. Right across from the Publix on North Dogwood in Milton, you've got basically some... you know, foresty area that's going to be developed, all right? And right by, like, Wisteria Lane is one end of the property. And there's a developer that wants to put in a series of buildings, okay? And they had originally been doing, it was going to be 5 businesses in 4 buildings. They've changed that a little bit now. They want to do 4 businesses in 4 buildings. It's not much of a change at all. Looks like there might be, like, a coffee shop or a drive-through restaurant. Some of this has changed a little bit. That's not the issue. Not really. The issue is that behind the property where they're going to develop it in, like, you know how buildings, when you do like a semi-strip mall, which is not quite a strip mall, but it's a strip of buildings mall, that behind there's going to be an alley driveway, and then there's like one or two houses back in the woods kind of, and they're promising to put up a barrier wall between the business alley and then the trees and those houses, which is fine and normal and good and appropriate. That's not the issue. The issue is that in the first set of agreement that they made, they promised that they were going to cover that wall with stucco. It's going to be a stucco wall. And now they're coming back and saying, we have reevaluated. We don't think stucco is the right approach. We know we promised stucco. What we're going to do is we're going to do painted concrete instead. So it's still going to be a barrier wall. It's still going to be the same height, same size. It's not wood. It's not anything. But it's going to be painted, you know, and it's going to be covered by landscaping anyway. Okay? And that's the thing that Mike Cusack, city council member, decided to pitch a fit about.
Contractor agreed to an 8-foot wall, stucco wall. But I think we should hold the contractor to exactly what they proposed. And I understand cost, but if they didn't have the foresight to understand what the difference in cost is, my business, if my costs go up, my rate to my customer remains the same. I eat it. So if they committed, and part of the commitment was to do the stucco wall, we need to hold them to the stucco wall.
Right. It was always a cement wall.
Jeff Snow.
It's just they were going to put a stucco finish on it. Honestly, just as I've had experience with those, you'd probably rather have that wall painted because stucco will go bad. It'd be an issue.
Well, you know, Jeff.
Stucco's just a finish.
Are you finished?
Are you finished interrupting me on my time where I am going to talk about this stucco wall? We are going to have a stucco wall, if I have anything to say about it, because stucco is amazing.
I lived in Arizona. I had all kinds of stucco. I had stucco walls, stucco houses. Stucco holds up, okay? I'm just telling you my experience because I had it.
It's got to be the water. I mean, it has to be the water. I don't understand. Like, how do you, as an elected city council member, get yourself in the position of having, not quite yelling, that would be an exaggeration, a scolding match over the question of whether the barrier wall behind the development plan to make sure that sound doesn't go through is going to have to be stucco, because that's what they said first time. We can't have it be painted cement. Does this get to happen?
What I'm saying is, I think the reason is they want to deviate from it is because of money. It's a cost factor to the contractor. Am I correct in that assumption, or is that a bad assumption?
So as far as the wall, I do agree with you. Stucco can hold up. It probably holds up much better in Arizona. The climate is drastically different than here. Got a lot more moisture.
Like, your Arizona may not be the same as Florida, hint, hint. This is the developer talking to Mike Cusack, city councilman.
Mold. But to Councilman Snow's point, the wall will remain the same. We agreed to an 8-foot block wall with a stucco finish. I'm requesting to modify the finish to paint versus stucco for multiple reasons of the maintenance of that material. Long term is not practical.
I mean, this is unbelievable. He's wanting to hang up this development project for however many millions of dollars is going to be. Over the stucco wall? Really? Anyway, we'll get back to this in a second. Before that, let's get traffic on the fives from Jenna Barr.
I-10 eastbound in Milton by mile marker 27 is now moving, but now Highway 98 eastbound heading into Navarre, slowdowns begin around Waldorf Lane and Turnkey Marine area. Then there's about some stop and go and slowdowns till Hurlburt Field. Front gate of NES Pensacola is not reporting any delays at the time, but if you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, thanks so much, Jenna. So back to Stucco Gate 2023. I got a developer wanting to build a series of buildings right across from the Publix on Dogwood. Good project, jobs, industry, developing, it's all good. And Mike Cusack is upset. City Councilman Mike Cusack is upset because they're changing from stucco on the invisible barrier wall behind the property to painted cement that you won't even be able to see.
With the amount of landscaping that we're installing on the western buffer, I don't believe anybody would know if it was stucco or not stucco. So from a visual aesthetic standpoint, to the general population's eye, it's going to look no different than it would have.
So again, this issue is just it's fascinating because it's, you know, are you creating a business-friendly environment? Or are you preferring to make businesses hate to deal with you? You know, Milton's been working for a long time to become more business friendly. And then you have kind of this sort of nonsense. And, you know, is this the thing worth fighting over? The point of the story here is, really, what can you not fight over in Milton? Well, apparently there's no limit. If you can fight over a stucco wall, here's Mike Cusack continuing to harangue this developer over this. You would think at this point he's like, oh, okay. All right, Florida's different from Arizona. Okay, it's going to be invisible. Okay, it's going to do the trick. Oh, okay, whatever, sure, no big deal. Oh, no, 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 there is no laying down ego in this meeting.
I just have one more question, and I guess I'm being difficult here.
You think?
Why did you agree to a stucco wall to begin with? If you say that's all bad and everything, why did you tell the people that's what you wanted to do? That's the only question I have. Why did you, at the beginning, tell everybody that's what you were going to do? And now you don't want to do what you told them we're going to do.
After talking with my general contractor, and I'm a developer, but I'm not a construction expert. That was his recommendation. And that was a recommendation from multiple parties, not just one. So we're just trying to look for the best possible, you know, long-term maintenance situation for that wall.
Wait for it.
So in other words, you didn't do the homework on the front end. You're changing it after the fact then, based on what a contractor has told you?
I don't believe that I suggested the stucco. It was requested.
Good Lord, man. Just shh. When Heather Lindsay, the mayor, has to step in and be the diplomat on the stage.
It sounds to me that the landscaping is going to shield whatever finishes on this wall anyway. So I'm not sure whether we should get stuck on whether it's stucco or not, if landscaping is going to disguise the finish. I'm not as bothered by it because of that landscaping comment.
This is a drinking game.
How many times can somebody say stucco in a Milton City Council? By the way, there's a meeting tonight, the final version of this vote, right? So, yeah, this would be the drinking game tonight if you're watching the meeting at home. You know, drink every time somebody says stucco. I love it. She actually said, and with a totally straight face, like she wasn't trying to make the joke, I think we shouldn't get stuck on stucco. That's great. Oh, man. So is there anything that the city of Milton won't fight over? The answer is no. No, there's no wall too bare. No construction technique too unpointy. They cannot fight over it in the city of Milton. Oh, the texts are rolling in. Oh, my God. I got to share some of this. Let's see. Somebody says, when men get old, they get weird. Somebody says, painted camouflage, and you'll even see it. It's always Festivus in Milton, and now the airing of grievances. Somebody says, he had stucco everywhere in Arizona, stucco walls, stucco bathrooms, stucco cars. Stucco cars. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, you guys are the best. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, my goodness, that's so funny. Hey, if you're thinking about selling your home and trying to figure out what you want to do with it, what the price you think you can get, if now is the right time, should you wait? All the questions, okay? Normal, good, healthy questions. Ask Christina Leavenworth. Just call Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Leaven Rinke Realty, and she'll tell you. She'll give you good advice. She'll say, this is what the market's doing now. This is what your neighborhood is doing. This is what other homes like yours have done. This is what we can do to your home to kind of alleviate an objection some people will have. This will also raise the price, you know, $5,000 if we do this simple thing. Like, she's full of that kind of advice because, you know, selling more than 200 homes a year the last couple of years, it's impressive. And getting prices sometimes, you know, in the past, almost always higher than list price and in a day or two or less. And now getting homes, you know, sometimes above list price, but still selling very, very quickly because they just know how to do things. They know how to do them different. They know how to take care of you. Like, it's going to seem weird to you because you're going to be like, it feels like I'm her only client. I know rationally that's not true, but it's going to feel like that, okay? Because she just knows how to do this and takes it so personal. That's why she's so good. You know, ask yourself, why is she so successful? Anyway, Christina Leavenworth, be sure to include her on your list. You know, go ahead and talk to two or three realtors. That's fine. Just include her on your list and then make a good decision that makes sense based on what you learn. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty. 723-9158.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
So I'm not sure whether we should get stuck on whether it's stucco or not.
Completely unrelated random song selection.
You know it's good when David perks up.
I know.
By the way, just so you know how we gauge how good that was.
Stuck in the Milton with you. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Come on, you saw that coming, right? I mean, you saw the haymaker, like, winding up, right? I mean, obviously. Please, tell me you saw that coming.
Of course. Of course. Stuck on stucco.
Stuck in the Milton with you. David, you're going to have to hang on for a second. I got Jenna in here with traffic on the fives. Go ahead, Jenna.
I don't know what I'm doing. I-10 heading eastbound and westbound are not reporting delays. However, Highway 98 eastbound in the Windhaven Beach area, we're seeing slowdowns beginning around Waldorf Lane and Turnkey Marine area. Expect those slowdowns till about Hurlburt Field. Front gate of NES Pensacola is not reporting any delays at the moment, but if you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, stucco-dependable.
Stucco-dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. You okay to continue, David?
Yeah, I'm good. Financial experts telling U.S. consumers not to panic after the recent bank failures. California's Silicon Valley Bank failed on Friday. That was followed by the closure of Signature Bank in New York on Sunday. It all started, however, with the collapse nearly a week ago of Silvergate Bank. Money managers say the banks that failed are specialized, and the FDIC is making sure all depositors' cash is good. Powerful nor'easter hitting the East Coast today. 20 million people under winter weather alerts. Forecasters say they're going to be seeing snow, heavy rain, strong winds, and power outages. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament starts today with some first four matchups in Dayton, Ohio. The world-renowned Southeast Missouri State is facing Texas A&M.
Come on, say the
acronym.
Say it.
SEMO. SEMO.
Southeast, yep. MO, Missouri.
Yeah.
SEMO. Go on.
The world-renowned SEMO facing Texas A&M and Pittsburgh and Mississippi State also meeting up today.
Very good. Did you do a bracket?
Not yet. Okay. I haven't had time. I'll fill one out today before this starts.
You don't technically have to do it today. I mean, you could wait until Thursday, you know, because the playing games don't really change your bracket. But still, you know, if you want to be totally pure and say I did it without any knowledge of what happened. You know, today'd be the day.
I'll make it happen.
All right.
I'll fill it out today.
Okay. Nobody in here is Catholic, right? No, three of us
are
not
safe.
Catholic.
This is a safe space.
Okay, no, it's fair enough. I am the most pro-Catholic evangelical you'll ever meet. I taught at St. Louis University for a while. I'm not a Catholic, but my students are, why aren't you a Catholic? Well, you know, reasons. Anyway, so I'm not, you know, there's a lot of sometimes ill will between Protestants and Catholics, also for reasons.
You
know?
Did you just say sometimes?
Well, there is. I mean, historically, yeah, you know, there's
a lot,
some stuff,
actually.
Right? There's, you know, Protestant Reformation, you know, violence. Anyway, so among other things. So when I bring up this topic, I bring it up in sincerity and in empathy, which is the following conundrum. It's Lent. If you are a Catholic in Lent, what do you do on Friday? You don't eat meat, right? This is why fish fries, you have Catholic fish fries on Friday because it's not meat, right? You don't eat beef, you don't eat meat, okay? And so you have fish on Friday. Okay, so that's part one, right? Throughout Lent, it's in Lent, right? No meat on Friday. This Friday is what date, Jenna?
It's the 17th. Oh, is it it's St. Patrick's Day.
It is absolutely St. Patrick's Day this Friday. What is the single dish everyone eats on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh my gosh.
Corned beef.
Corned beef.
Corned beef and cabbage.
So
with
good.
Potatoes. It's so good. And Guinness, of course, obviously. Duh. So this is a conundrum for the Catholics. Do you partake in St. Patrick's Day festivities and eat your corned beef? Or do you honor the guidance that you're not supposed to eat beef on a Friday during Lent? Well, this is such a significant problem for Catholics that we actually have dioceses around the country issuing guidance for St. Patrick's Day. For example, in Chicago, very high Irish concentration in Chicago, Irish Catholic concentration in Chicago, you have some dioceses, like in Rockford, McHenry, DeKalb, Kane counties, church leaders are granting a dispensation of local Catholics, allowing them to partake in meat eating in the observance of the holiday. And in exchange, they're supposed to perform an act of charity or penance on that day in honor and respect of the Paschal mystery of our Lord and Savior. Other dioceses are not issuing dispensations, and so it really depends on the individual diocese. And you might ask yourself the question, well, what about here? I mean, I'm a Catholic here, Andrew. Well, Bishop Wack does not plan to grant a dispensation for Friday, March 17th. People are still obliged to abstain from meat that includes corned beef on Fridays during Lent. Bishop Wack encourages the faithful to honor the life of St. Patrick with our prayers and devotions by attending Mass and asking for his intercession, keeping the season of Lent holy and preparing ourselves to celebrate the risen Christ at Easter. So if you're a local Catholic and you were hoping to eat corned beef on Friday, you shouldn't, according to the bishop.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. A powerful winter storm is taking aim at New England.
The nor'easter could dump up to 18 inches of snow on parts of New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire, with some power outages already reported in the region. The wintry mess is already making it difficult to get around, and some schools in the region canceled classes. People are being warned to stay off the roads if possible.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. We just got the February Consumer Price Index in. It's up 0.4% month over month, in line with expectations. And Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell's staff says he's recovering well after a fall last week.
And he was discharged from the hospital, but he is not heading home. The statement says the next step is a period of physical therapy at an inpatient rehab facility, and that during treatment, his doctors discovered a minor rib fracture, and he's receiving treatment for that as well.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is mostly clear right now, 46 degrees in Pensacola. Well, the name has changed, but it's the activity that needs to change. That from community advocates after a fatal shooting in a parking lot near Club Climax over the weekend.
We cannot continue to go down this spiraling hill that's out of control of these senseless murders.
That is Ellison Bennett, community advocate. He's hoping to meet with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves soon to talk about solutions to the violence. He says that could include possibly shutting down Club Climax. Bennett says that the club has a history of violence. There was another fatal shooting there back in May of 2019. Spring break continues. It's zero tolerance in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office there says they've issued 132 citations for underage possession of alcohol so far. They posted photos of a recent traffic stop on social media where four teenagers were found with fake IDs, alcohol, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Deputies warn that having a fake driver's license could result in a felony charge. The big news this week has been the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank. Now, that's had investors concerned about the possibility of other banks failing. Local investment officer for Waverly Advisors, John Cox, talked with Channel 3 about how investors could play it safe.
You don't want to be overexposed to one bank or even a handful of banks. You want to have a basket, so which may include 10 or 20 different banks, so you kind of spread your risk.
And Cox says there's always a risk when you're investing. He says you need to spread that out evenly. He also says potential investors that don't want to risk as much could invest in cash and bonds, which has a lower rate of return, but of course less risk as well. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and Santa Rosa County School Board are being sued by the family of a special needs student. The family alleging that law enforcement officers in the school district violated their then 8-year-old student's constitutional rights. This after a body cam video from a school resource officer was released that shows the boy being handcuffed and later Baker-acted. The incident reportedly happened at High Road School in Pace. The town council in Century planning to apply for state funding to renovate the Century High School gym and replace a long-failed bridge. If the $10 million grant were to be approved, it would pay to renovate the old high school gym, which could serve as a multi-purpose facility in the town and possibly as a hurricane or disaster shelter as well. The school closed more than 25 years ago. The town also planning to apply for a $3 million grant to replace the closed bridge on Freedom Road. And yesterday we learned about another violent incident at the Southern Raceway in Milton that happened over the weekend.
Again, that Saturday night we had us another altercation. Evidently a wreck took place on the track, and someone that was associated with one of the drivers somehow went into the other driver's trailer uninvited and ultimately struck him with a hammer.
And that's Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. He tells us as deputies were dealing with that altercation, another fight broke out that was related to that same incident. Channel 3 reporting the suspect was the father of one of the drivers involved in the crash on the track. 51-year-old Gary Winger was arrested on aggravated battery and burglary charges. 23-year-old Scott Winger and 30-year-old Scott Parker were both charged with disorderly conduct after that incident. 7:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jenna.
The following traffic on the fives is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. I-10 eastbound and westbound are moving along right now. 98 heading eastbound in the Windhaven Beach area. Slowdowns begin around Waldorf Lane and Turnkey Marine. Expect those slowdowns till about Hurlburt Field. Front gate of NES Pensacola is not reporting any delays at this time. Executive Landscaping, big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 850-250-3756 for your no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. Have a traffic tip, call 850-262-6111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, sunshine. It's 44 in Pensacola, 47 in Gulf Breeze, and 43 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Shares of United Airlines down 6% in pre-market trading after the carrier said it expects to post a loss in the current quarter due to expenses tied to a potential agreement with its pilots union.
Give you guys a pulse of the country. Four major topics every single mayor is dealing with, everyone, is homelessness, affordable housing, fentanyl, and recruitment and retention of police officers. Those are the four. I mean, yes. you won't find one mayor in the United States that said we have any of those figured out yet.
So four things that Mayor D.C. Reeves told Jeff Bergoscher in coffee with the commissioner a week and a half. That the four things they're dealing with are retention of police officers, affordable housing, homelessness, and fentanyl. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good to have you. So there are two of those that are relevant to your agency. Obviously, you used to be the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, then with corrections and among other things at the county. You did a lot of things, yeah. And you did a lot of things back in the day that we don't always talk about. That are, you know, all kinds of things in law enforcement, right? Okay. Mostly good things. But recruitment and retention of law enforcement officers, we do talk about this quite a bit.
Right.
He said, you know, every mayor struggles with that across the country. I would say that mayors outside the South struggle with that a lot. Is my perception right that especially here in Florida, more pro-law enforcement areas, that we do better with it? It's still harder, but it's not hard like it is, say, in Illinois or New York or California.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's still a struggle. I said, but we are able to attract individuals that want to come and live in Florida, first of all, and then we do have the support of the community. It's still okay for a child to want to be a police officer when they grow up here in Escambia County. We see it. I hear it all the time.
Isn't that a crazy thing that you have to say? That yeah. Here it's still okay to want to grow up to be a cop? Like, in a lot of places, that's amazing. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I've been to conferences throughout the country, and I was in D.C. a couple of months ago, and they had that conversation. They can't get people, and it's almost like you can't even talk about wanting to be a police officer. But here in Escambia County, certainly, we're able to attract a number of people. We only have just a couple of openings now, and we could fill those if we really wanted to. It's just the pipeline just takes so long. That's why we tried to get. That's why we were able to get our own training academy, so we can use our own timing and train our own deputies.
If this doesn't get fixed in other parts of the nation, what's going to be true in 10 years? Because I mean, it's one thing to say right now it's hard, but that's going to be an ongoing problem. You know, if people aren't becoming cops, wanting to become cops, as a systemic problem across the nation in many parts, that's a huge issue.
Well, I mean, and that's why you have to approach it. A lot of people think you just throw money at it, which is something you obviously have to do. If you can get a better job or a better paying job somewhere else, then you know, someone will go another location. But I think that if it continues, I fear that those cities, specifically the ones that are in a more liberal communities, I fear that they'll just accept the fact that there is a crime-ridden community. I mean, around here, we have a crime. We talk about it. Oh, my gosh, this took place. You know, we had a stabbing over the weekend.
Yeah.
But up in some areas, it happens so frequently that it's not even news anymore.
It's just the background noise of an urban life or something.
Yeah, let me know when you have a mass shooting. Let me know whenever it affects a school. And that's just heartbreaking. But that's not the case here, fortunately. We have a lot of support, and our men and women in law enforcement here in Escambia County and Pensacola do a fantastic job.
The other thing that DC mentioned was fentanyl. And you and I have talked about this many times, but there's been some, unfortunately, new things connected to that, right?
Well, you know, we had a record-breaking fentanyl arrest just a couple months ago. We did a press conference on it, talked about how we seized enough fentanyl to kill potentially 800,000 people and all this. And I just over the weekend, Friday, a couple of days ago, we had a report of a double overdose. Now, one person ended up surviving, but one did pass away from the overdose. And then Sunday, we had another double overdose. Both of them passed away. And then last night, we had another.
Now, another double? Again?
No, a single. So In the past 5 days or so, we've had five overdoses, four of which passed away. And the odd part about that is that we've had is the doubles. It's these are two people that they get together and they overdo it, and that's it, you know, that's a little bit of a concern for us. And so if anyone wonders why we're so tough on these drug dealers, why I partner with some of our federal agency, why the DEA, why we spend a lot of our time and prioritize fentanyl, is because fentanyl is killing our community. And it's just something that is just the highest of priorities for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And it's just, again, the reason I bring it up is because it's odd that we would have two doubles in the last couple of days.
Are the users, I mean, and I suppose it's probably a little bit of both, but are they caught by surprise by there being fentanyl and things they didn't expect it to be in, that it's cut into other drugs? Or do they know it's got fentanyl and they just can't handle the potency of it? Or both? Or
that's based on what I'm hearing. Again, it's probably true in everything you say in different settings.
Sure.
I believe they're looking to get high on fentanyl.
So that is the demand drug
now. But they don't understand. Yeah, it's fentanyl is a more substantial high for them. And then they continue to push the envelope and push the envelope. And again, there was two of them. The one, again, we don't get into names and we don't get into too many details. But I mean, they're all, they have fentanyl in the area. They have syringes. They have all these, the telltale signs of a drug overdose. I just think it's heartbreaking to see what has become of some of the people in our community. You hear a lot about they thought they were taking aspirin and it was fentanyl laced, but we rarely see that. The overwhelming majority of the overdoses that we see are those who intend to take fentanyl, and they either in their euphoria they continue to take more, and they don't understand how much they've taken until it's too late.
In other words, people who have bad judgment when it comes to using drugs in the first place might also have bad judgment in how much of that drug is safe for them to consume or under what certain, which
and sadly, if both of them are doing it, if there's two in a room, both of them are doing it, there's no cooler head to prevail. No one can say, hey, we've had enough. And as long as they have it, they'll continue to smoke it until it's gone.
We're talking to Chip Simmons, the sheriff in Escambia County. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Jenna before we get back to this conversation. Thanks so much, Jenna. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, you kind of mentioned it just a moment ago when we were talking, but we've had not one, but two stabbings in the last week, one at a Town and Country Mall and one at a wedding reception in Molino on Saturday night. Is that right?
We just reported as it's reported to us, and we had one stabbing based upon a fight at Town and Country Plaza right there at Fairfield and Pace.
Right in your backyard, basically.
Yeah, right across the street. But apparently they have a party there, and the party was leaving and into the parking lot of Town and Country. There was a fight. And the report was a stabbing. I don't have any information on the condition of the individual that was stabbed. No one's really giving us much information. Just a crowd of people fighting. Someone ends up being cut, and they're claiming they were stabbed.
Gotcha.
That sort of thing. And then we had another one that was, like you said, at a wedding. You know, there's so many stories and movies about weddings and you know, things, strange things happen. But we ended up arresting Harold Alfonso Ramos Files of Ocala and charged him with aggravated battery and use of a deadly weapon. Basically, it was a result of a private event wedding on Crabtree Church Road. But the airlifted to hospital, but as I understand it, he'll survive.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, but, you know, it's not great when you have a stabbing at a wedding. But, you know, people partying sometimes get to talking and don't agree with each other and drinking and all the things that happen at a wedding. I mean, you know.
We have the same thing happening during holiday season.
Yeah.
We have people,
yeah,
extended
that makes
family
sense.
Comes in and rehash some old rivalries.
We also had on Old Coryfield Road, we had a guy who was in his 70s was out walking. Somebody attempted to rob him. He tries to defend himself. He gets shot. I mean, what happened here?
Well, I mean, I'll call him our hero in this story.
Okay.
So our hero's walking his two dogs off Old Coryfield Road, and two guys approach him and pull a gun and try to rob him. He pulls his own gun, and then they run, but they also shoot at him. He shoots at them. He ends up getting shot in the ankle, but our hero is expected to survive.
Wow. Do you know time of day?
It was early in the morning.
But light out?
I don't know that it was light out,
okay.
But it was really early in the morning.
Well, because I'm just
at dawn.
You know, in my mind, okay, you know, there's places you go where you feel like this is perhaps an unsafe place to be by myself, and there's places you go where you're like, it's Old Coryfield Road. For goodness sakes, it's a major road. Semi, you know? That wouldn't be... So, I don't know. Just, that's... But, yeah, I guess... He didn't get robbed.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot greater conversation here to be had about concealed weapons and protecting yourself and all that sort of thing. And when an individual, protects themselves and takes the steps to protect themselves and then actually does it, I applaud, because that's what I would do.
He's doing everything you tell people to do.
He was prepared, be aware, be trained,
get your certificate.
And he survived the day, and I think that's very important.
Yeah, that's true. I had been thinking how bad that he got shot, but the good news is he didn't get killed.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know when somebody's rolling up on you trying to rob you with guns. You never, I mean.
And again, I'm not saying everyone should pull a gun and start shooting. I think, we talk about, the reasonableness of the action at the time that it took place and whether you thought that you or someone else was in danger. Clearly he was in danger. And as I say once, I'll say it again and again. It's okay to protect yourself in Escambia County. And as long as I'm the sheriff, you're not going to be penalized for that.
Thank goodness. You were at PPD Chief for a while. I know you're familiar with what used to be the Platinum Club. It's now Club Climax. It's gone through a variety of things. We had a horrible incident that took place there a couple of years ago. We've had another one over the week. I think it's in the city limits, so it's really not your jurisdiction anymore. But, I mean, first reaction from a lot of people is, well, why don't they just shut that down? And I know that's not your domain anymore, but is that an overreaction, or is that the kind of thinking we ought to be having? Do you have an opinion? Feel free to say it's not your issue. You don't want to weigh in, but...
Well, no. I always have an opinion, as my wife would say. I think that, we talked about the stabbing at Town and Country Plaza.
Yeah.
That's actually the second stabbing we've had there in about 6 months. And so I've already instructed our people to contact the owners, contact and find out who they're leasing this to. And when I was a police chief, I would write letters to people, say, you're experiencing this much crime there, you're drained on resources, you need to do something, because I'm logging this letter, and so if someone wants to sue you later on, I'm gonna show them this letter.
This is
that
to the
I
club.
Warned you to various clubs.
Oh, there were
clubs,
okay,
downtown.
Gotcha.
And so my point is, I think that you can put some an idea in a business's head and let them know, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're doing. Again, I wouldn't be the one that would tell PPD what to do. They can make their own decisions. But because I was a police chief and I am now the sheriff, I'm letting you know what I did. When we have one location, specifically a business, that in my opinion, I'll just say it, allows crowds to gather with insufficient security, then things like this can get out of hand. And I think that they need to be made aware of that. And I think that things need to be taken.
Now, that's an interesting note that, putting something in writing to them would put them on notice. And then, that they would have to think about their legal liability, because they have been warned this is an unsafe situation. Interesting. Hey, last thing before we let you go, you're starting the cold case symposium again tomorrow and Thursday, right?
We're only working on four cases this time, because the investigators that volunteered their time to come in, they say, we really want to work on these. We want to work more on specific cases. So we're working four, some range from as far back as 1981. We're looking at Anna Brown, who was 38, that was found shot up off of Crabtree Church Road, Molino. We're working on homicide of Kenneth Deshaun Underwood, who was 9 at the time. He was killed somewhere near his cantonment home in 1981. We're working the homicide of Connie Annette Slaughter, who was 43, found in the backyard of her home. And we're working the death of Stephen R. Davis, who was shot to Winn-Dixie on Navy Boulevard in 1998. So obviously, if anyone has any information on any of these cases, give us a call. But these are the cases that our investigators, and we've got a great reception from our retired investigators, investigators that have moved into the Escambia County area, that want to come and give that fresh look, that new set of eyes, and see if we can finally bring some resolution to these families.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time, the information, and for doing your very best to keep Escambia County safe. I certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
753 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11. Before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ow! Knights of Columbus, that hurts!
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's get Jenna in here with traffic on the fives before we go to the newsroom. Jenna?
All right, keeping an eye on the roads this morning for you. It's a sunshiny day and seeing slowdowns on I-10 westbound at the US 29 Pensacola Boulevard exit. Highway 98 eastbound in the Oriole Beach area, still seeing those delays in both directions at Oriole Beach Road. Front gate of NES Pensacola is not reporting delays at the moment. Have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jenna. Now David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden will be in California today as he pushes for more gun control. He's scheduled to visit Monterey Park, where 11 people were killed at a dance studio earlier this year. Today, he'll be revealing an executive order to reinforce background checks for gun buyers and strengthen support for red flag laws. SpaceX is going to start testing Starlink's satellite to cell service with T-Mobile this year. T-Mobile and SpaceX announced their partnership last August when they vowed to end mobile dead zones.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, I got a I got a text in from a Catholic talking about the whole corned beef eating meat on Fridays in Lent and how some dioceses are giving a dispensation, some dioceses are not for corned beef. Locally, Bishop Wack has said no dispensation. But what was interesting to me is, and not having grown up Catholic, not being a Catholic, but again, being about as, you know, pro-Catholic as a Protestant can be, somebody said, I was raised Catholic, you can't get any more Catholic than my parents are. The whole notion of not eating meat on Fridays turned into a joke. This practice started way back when, and that you would skip meat on Friday, and then the money or the meat that you save would give to the poor, which I didn't know that history. I didn't know that. I mean, I know that, you know, giving alms, doing service as, you know, other acts of devotion, sure, but I didn't know that that direct trade-off was involved. And he says, so now, or she, I don't know, here we are, can't eat a $5 a pound hamburger, but you can gorge yourselves on $30 a pound lobster is perfectly fine because, you know, seafood is not beef. And the poor seem to have been squeezed out of all this. No, I think that's not a mistake the bishop is making, surely, but I think that's a common enough thing, you know? And I didn't know that history. I thought that was interesting that the money you save on not buying meat, you should give that to the poor. I mean, I would advocate you can give a lot more than that to the poor, obviously. But that's, you know, those are the kinds of things that make you think, be particular, devoted to an ideal, and really be mindful, I guess is the term they use now. Have a kind of mindfulness about the reason you do things. And that's useful.
Listen on air.